Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we bless you. We worship you. We acknowledge your name, your praise, your glory. Let Jesus forever be glorified. We thank you for the privilege of fellowship, even again. We ask, O God, that you bless our hearts tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please be seated. It's good to see everyone again. Hallelujah. Just look at your neighbor right and left and tell them it's good to see you again. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I really want to appreciate everyone. Thank you again for making the sacrifice to be here tonight. I specifically want us to honor our father, Pastor Tula, and his wife. I was so delighted seeing him. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Dr. Anointed is also here. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so, so much. And every other person, the Lord bless you. We have a lot to do and we have to redeem the time. In the name of Jesus Christ. First Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11. We'll look at a few scriptures. Just fear a few things tonight. Please just help me with the sound. First Chronicles. It says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness God that we serve is Lord of all, not Lord of some, not Lord of seasons, but He is Lord of all." He says, "Thine is the greatness." These are the things that the kings of the earth look for. They look for greatness, they look for power, they look for glory, they look for victory, they look for majesty. And the Bible tells us all of these things that the kings of the earth seek, all of the wars, the battles that have happened through history, is because men were trying to look for this. From Napoleon, you read through history, Emperor Nero, all of these people down to Adolf Hitler, you name them. Everything they were looking for is this: greatness, looking for power, looking for glory, looking for victory, looking for majesty. All through history, there has been a contention as to who really owns this thing. Because whoever has this is the Lord of the earth. Are we together now? Yes. So the worship team spent time reminding us again that no matter what the pride of men through history has been, the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty belongs to the Lord. Are we together now? Very powerful. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain,
break every chain, break every chain.
The power is not limited to breaking chains alone. It is the same power that breaks chains that is the power that makes men. The same power that makes men is the power that heals, the power that delivers, the power that restores. I hope you don't get used to that song and make you believe that the limit of the power of God is just to break chains. Because there are times that you need to make something out of nothing. And that same power, it says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory." These things reside with Him. You will not find it with any man. You will not find it with any kingdom. I'm starting tonight because, you know, most people leave God because of this. This is what has driven people to run away from God. This is what has driven people to fraternize with darkness. They are looking for greatness. They are looking for power. Did Satan not take Jesus to an exceeding high mountain? The Bible says, and he says, just bow to me. He showed him the glories of the earth as though it were his own. He said, bow to me and I will give you. But we know, we are not confused, that the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty belongs to God. So if you ever find a man manifesting these dimensions, God gave it to him, or he really doesn't have it. There are some results that are not within the realm of men. If men ever walk in these dimensions, the giver is the Lord. Psalm 24 said, the earth is the Lord's and its fullness. There are three dimensions here. Give it to us, please. I pray that I'm not distracted this night. I plan to just give a charge. I really didn't plan to preach. The worship team just stirred up something. The Bible says the earth. Number two, the fullness. Number three, the world. Keep it there. Psalm 24 verse 1. Just keep verse 1. Three things. The earth. Number two, the fullness. Number three, the world. The earth here talks of the natural habitat. The earth belongs to the Lord. Number two, the fullness talks of the riches and the resources that are in the earth. That the riches and the resources that are in the earth also belong to the Lord. Number three, the walls, the people, and the mindset. Are we together now? That we're supposed to bring glory to God. The people as designed, they all belong to God. The earth belongs to the Lord. The fullness belongs to the Lord. The riches, the blessings, everything you can find in the earth. Number three, it says the world and they that dwell therein. So we belong to the Lord. It is not that we gave our life to him. We are his possession. This is what you need to understand. Our giving our heart to him was his way of respecting our will. But the earth belongs to the Lord. There is an understanding about God I want to happen to you this night. God is Lord of all. You need to get this before I establish a few things that I want to put tonight. When you know this about God, number one, you will fear God. You will not only serve him, you will fear God. It will plant in you reverence for God. That the earth, there is a monarch in this universe. This universe is not a political universe. This universe is not a parliament that has a group of people who sit down and transfer power after a few years. There is an ancient monarch that sits. This earth belongs to him. And the meaning of that is that you find your security not in the things around, because everything that is not God was created. And there was nothing that was ever made outside of the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you know this, you find security in the fact that the Lord, notice, whenever he's talking about rulership, it does not say God. It says the Lord is a name of dominion, is a name of power, is a name of majesty. Are we together? Second scripture. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth. I told you, you cannot get it until you are given. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Not, there are many victories, but there is a master victory that when you are given, you become a commander over every situation and circumstances. It's called the victory. There are victories. The same way there are blessings, but there is the blessing. Are we together now? The Bible says, thanks be to God. God is the giver. The God which giveth us the victory. And he does that through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are victories, but there is the victory. Everybody say the victory. One more time, say the victory. You will never be able to find victories in your life if you do not receive the victory. There is a gift that God gives men. It's called the victory. It's a gift. I pray that God will open your eyes once again. This is a new year. That you will see with the eyes of your spirit. Thanks be to God, which giveth Joshua Selman the victory. And that this victory only comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, all over the world, there are people, and that sadly includes believers, who attempt to find victory in finances, victory in health, victory in career, victory in destiny. We continue to chase after all of these things, and yet we have refused to receive the victory. The Bible tells us that there are spiritual patterns that every other dimension of victory only answers when you receive this gift of God given to you. The Bible calls it the victory. The victory. I'm going to show you what that victory is. So when the Bible says this is the season of victory, you need to understand what it's saying so that you don't just mean no triumph. Just follow closely. The victory. The victory. The foundation of our walk in this Christian faith is our encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget this. It is not prosperity. It is not breakthrough. It is not church. It is not ministry. In fact, it is not anointing. It is not signs and wonders. The foundation, the genesis of the believer's walk in this kingdom, it starts with an encounter, not just with God, an encounter with the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the one who represents the image and the likeness of God. Are we together now? He came as a manifestation of God. Jesus said, I am the way. You have to follow me. I am the path that leads you to a reality, and finally you find life. So when you start your journey, your encounter starts with Jesus. Let me emphasize that name again, Jesus. Because our generation knows God. Our generation knows King. But we are forgetting Jesus. The Bible says, there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There is no other name. There are many names. There are many great names. But there is just one name. There is no other name given. They are all gifts. By which we must be saved. Are we together now? So here's what the Bible says. That once upon a time, on account of the sin of man, that both Gentiles and Jews were alienated. Jews were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Are we together? And then that Gentiles right from Adam. So it says that all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now Jesus came. When Jesus came to the earth, he began to tell us why he came. Are we together now? Number one, he came as a correction of what we had been told about God. Because until Jesus manifested, there were many perceptions about God. Men could not encounter God directly. Only a select few. And that they only saw dimensions of him. And so there were so many things, both of God and Satan, that were attributed to God. They had to, a whole nation and a whole generation had to depend on the revelation of a few people to know God. So Jesus came as God manifest in the flesh. So that seeing him walk upon the earth, we will now have a very perfect view of who God was, and who he is. Are we together? Number two, he came to show man the extent to which we have fallen from God's standard. And then to bring man to a point where we'll be ready to receive the salvation that he would offer. Number three, he came to fulfill the legal dimension of redemption. Because as powerful as God is, he did not cast sin out of man. There are spiritual patterns. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Are we together now? So he went through all of the sacrifices from Golgotha down to the cross, and then went to Hades, the place of the dead, collected the keys. The Bible says he triumphed over them in judgment. Then he resurrected on the third day according to the integrity of scripture. But watch this. When he resurrected, the Bible says that he ascended to heaven. And Paul, by the Spirit of God, now all of the disciples, they are who later became apostles, they only knew what happened. They didn't really know what happened when he went down and when he went up. They only knew what happened when he was on earth. Follow me carefully. So we needed someone to really tell us what went down beyond this earth and what happened when he ascended. Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, now came and said, let me tell you, I have been granted access. He said, it is the fellowship of the mystery. I was given a gift of knowledge, a gift of insight. And I saw what happened there, that when he descended to the Hades, according to the legal claim of justice, Satan and all the demons were on him to force him to bow and acknowledge to the Lord. By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had left him. He went to hell as Adam in the strength of man. We're discussing victory. Follow me carefully. He didn't go to hell assisted by the Holy Ghost. It would have been unfair. So he went to hell as Adam. And when he went, after defeating him, he now met Satan and said, give me the keys. What keys? The keys of dominion, Revelation 1, you see. I am he that was dead and now is alive and I have the keys. Now watch this. When he got the keys, the Bible says he went to the prison in hell where there were saints there who were there. Hades, really, the place of the dead, and preached the gospel to them according to Apostle Peter. Peter was given this revelation that he preached the gospel. They couldn't be condemned if they were not given an opportunity to hear the gospel. And when they believed, he came out with them, becoming now the firstborn, no longer the only begotten. Read your Bible. When Jesus resurrected, he was not the only one who came out of the grave. There were many of the saints. He came out with them and they ascended to heaven. But watch this. Now Paul tells us that when he went to heaven, something happened. He was both the Lamb and the High Priest. That's not something you have to choose one. You are either the Lamb or the High Priest. But now he took his blood, because according to the principles of atonement, the age of the Lamb determines the validity of the atonement. So you had to get a lamb that was 1 year old, and when you pour the blood, it will atone the sins for 1 year old. Now an ageless lamb drained his blood, and when he took it, listen, he took it to the heavenly tabernacle, and the Bible says he poured that blood there once and for all. And when that happened, the next stage was he was ready for his coronation service. It was this coronation service that this way I'm interested in now. It says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand. There was a coronation service that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ in honor now of the victory that he had brought. Watch this. And in that coronation service, something was given to him.
It was called a name. Are we together now? A name does not mean a means of identification. It was an office that was given to him. Are we together now? And that as he sat down, there was an office that he assumed in reality. And the Bible says the nature of that office is that now he is Lord over the things that are in the earth, the things that are under the earth, the things that are in heaven. And that everywhere that name, that office is invoked, it says, let every knee bow, let every tongue confess. Are we together now? When that was done, watch this now. He came to man and made a very, very dangerous proposition. He said, all that I went through was not just for me to ascend and to sit down. For many years, I didn't understand why God would stop being God, come down on earth, pay the price to be God again. Are you getting what really happened? God, it was always his position, but he stripped himself of that position. He came to the earth and went to a sacrifice and become what it became, what he always was again. The reason is the first time man was not part of the equation. So he stripped himself, went down, paid the price, and now when he came up, he said, I did all of that so that together with me now, I can drag man to be seated there. Even though I was in that position, but I was alone, my idea is to bring man along. And I could not just say, man, come and be seated with me. So I derobed myself. I went down to the earth, down to Hades, and now coming up, I'm saying, man, now follow me. The whole idea about his sacrifice was you. You were in his mind while he was doing everything, not him. Let me give you an example of what that means. It's like a professor, are we together? Watching himself and say, I'm no longer a professor. He strips himself, goes down to kindergarten. Are we together now? And then his colleagues start assessing him till secondary school, university, master's, PhD, and becomes a professor back again. And you say, why did you become what you were always, you know, was always your position? And he said, the reason is because I didn't want to become a professor alone. Are we together now? And there was someone in my mind, and I said, I will go back and start. According to God's system, everybody should go and do kindergarten, degree, master's, PhD. Is that true? But he said, I have a strategy. The strategy is that at the point I will be writing my final exams, there is something I'm going to do that will be as though everyone is also doing PhD. Are you getting the idea now? So by the time I write that final exam, when the result comes out, it's not only my name that will be on the board. Every other person who can believe my report automatically will be given a PhD. Look how unfair that sounds. All of a sudden, something that took a man 30 years, in a moment, another person is answering PhD, 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 PhD. This is what Jesus did with salvation. Are we together now? And then, that gift, listen carefully, this victory that he gave us is the access that we have to his name. The name of Jesus is what the Bible calls the victory. That office, the victory. Sit down, please. It is the name of the Lord that saves. Most believers never walk in victory because they are not aware of the blessing of what our oneness with Christ. If I say, If you know you are part of Koinonia, don't stand up. Oh, just an example. Stand up. Every other person, everybody here will stand up. Is that true? Why? Because you are partakers of a name. Are we together now? If you come from a family and we say everybody who is from this family, stand up. You stand up. Now, there is a name that a believer has been given. Please listen to me. There are many implications in that name. Number one, the life of God is hidden in that name. Number two, righteousness is hidden in that name. Number three, the authority that is back of that name, we also have access to it. It is the name that saves. The name delivers. That when a person has access to that name in reality, that is called the victory. Can I tell you this? There are many people who pray. It's important. There are them weed grass. He's always roaming around there. But he's not a member of that household. He does not have access to any inheritance as far as that family is concerned. No matter how long he has been around. The name. As he is in heaven, so are we. Did you read that in your Bible? Because we have access to a name. The name also represents the sacrifice that he went through. That we have been partakers of. The Bible tells us that we are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. We were not there, but that becomes the legitimate ground to become benefactors of this glory that is now being revealed in us. These truths look like they are basic truths in the kingdom, but not knowing them will cost you a lot. You will continue to gallivant around several Christian activities without any tangible victory in your experience. It starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our oneness. That understanding that I have his name. It is not just an understanding that I prayed well. As important as that is. Do you know? Ask the average believer why he thinks his life will be victorious. He will tell you, I fasted for 7 days. I prayed for 10 hours. I study my Bible for this and that. Those things are wonderful. But the ultimate basis for the believer's victory is not the spiritual activities that are done. Hear me. The ultimate basis for the believer's victory is the fact that we have been given the privilege of oneness to a name. That name, T.L. Osborne, for many years continued to drum this in the ears of the church. When he manifested dimensions of power and grace and came to Africa, they warned him when he was coming to Africa that Africa is the place of witchcraft and wizardry. They have killed a lot of missionaries, and he laughed. He said, you do not know who is going. It is not only T.L. Osborne, the man, who is going. No. There is a corporate. It's like the Godhead is coming to Africa. And when T.L. Osborne came to Africa, he wrought terrible things in righteousness. And he returned back in power. Why? Because more than his fasting, more than prayer, more than Bible study, I'm telling you, the ultimate basis for the victory of the believer is the reality of that which Christ has done, and not just what he has done, but our access to it. Let every other name fade away. Let every other name fade away. Till there's only you. Let every other name fade away. So we have become, as the Bible calls it, one with Christ. I don't know what that means to you. One with Christ. Do you know what that means? In theology, we call it the doctrine of interpenetration. is a theological concept that is used. The clearest example of it is marriage, where two people become one. They don't become one personality. They are still two personalities, but they become one because according to that principle, all that is yours is also that of your spouse. So we are, when you understand this, you truly realize that everything Jesus wrought in reality today. Remember, I read you that scripture about the greatness, the power, that it belongs to the Lord. And now, having all of those things, he put it in his name and he brought you to become a participant of it. Are we together now? And that when you understand that truth, your life becomes supernatural in a way that will marvel you. You know, if you don't believe these things, they will sound like Bible gibberish. And you will listen to it and be happy and just be excited. But the truth is that your life will be a plethora of defeat again and again. Wherefore, God had so highly given him a name that is above every other name. And Paul, mentoring the church in Ephesus, began to speak to them that not only did Jesus ascend, but that we were raised up with him. Ephesians chapter 2, when you read from verse 1 to 6, specifically verse 6, it says that we were raised up with him, Christ. We were raised up together and we were made to sit. We didn't sit, we were made to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ. Next verse, verse 7. Let's look at verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ. Verse 8. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. This is what I want you to see. It is the gift of God. What is the it? It's not just grace like that. That entire activity of the believer's ascension and that you were made to sit with Christ, the Bible says it was a gift. Are we together now? Now, if you are aware, just because you have a gift does not mean there are no responsibilities, but that it starts with that consciousness, my brothers and my sisters. Not just a consciousness that I am a Nigerian. Not just a consciousness that I am in Zaria. You think that way, you will be defeated every day for the rest of your life till Jesus returns. He that cometh from above is above all. The Bible declares that we have been called out of every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And by this privilege, the gift of God, we have been exalted to a position. The Bible says we have been made to sit with Christ. My question is, do you believe this? Don't be ashamed if you are trying to believe it. It usually is truly difficult to believe. God has to help you to believe it. That in reality, I have been exalted. It's like carrying my ATM and giving someone. Most likely for a while he will not even touch anything there and say, no, this is a joke. And I say, truly. Because the way we live on the earth, there has to be a basis for something. Why did you do this? And I say, it's just a gift. But you do not know me. That's why it's a gift. It's a revelation of the extent of my love. That I didn't even need to know you and vet whether you can love me back. I gave you access to something so precious. I think it's because it is so easy and it is so real that many believers say this is too good to be true and they throw it away and they say, you know what, I rather just focus on fasting, focus on prayer, focus on Bible study. These things are wonderful, but if that is where you think your power will come from, you will never walk in genuine power. Believe me, my dear ones, I know what I am saying. The basis of a believer's strength and confidence, it's not primarily the activities that happen. The basis of a believer's confidence is that which Christ has done in reality. and the privilege of oneness, access to his name. If the Lord is declaring that this is our year of victory, he's not just saying this is the year of more fasting. He's not just saying this is the year of more prayer. He's not just saying this is the year of more Bible study. He's number one saying this is the year when, like never before, the consciousness of Jesus, your oneness, access to this divine life, this is a pillar, a foundational pillar in your understanding of Christianity. If you do not understand this, there is no basis of being a successful Christian. Are we blessed? You must know this. Demons must know you know it. Principalities must know you know it. It's not enough to say I know it. Because, my brothers, hear me, and my sisters, the days that we are stepping into are days that will require you having this understanding. There are days that you will need to go back and check what is the foundation upon which your confidence stands on. Some trust in horses. Question: are horses not weapons of war? Some trust in chariots. Question: are chariots not weapons of war? He said, but trust. He never talked of a problem using them. The problem is trusting them. So when your fasting now sits on your throne like Jesus, when your prayer now sits on your throne like Jesus, when your Bible study now sits on your throne like Jesus, when the awareness of your good works now sits on the throne like Jesus, those things have become the devil too. Because that was what the devil did wrong. The devil did not go around in trouble in heaven. No, 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 no. All he did was he wanted a system that could bring a parallel government. The basis of the believer's victory is the awareness of your oneness in Christ. So that you become a manifestation of that name. A manifestation of the glory that comes with that name. A manifestation, listen carefully, of the power that comes with that name. A manifestation of the victory that comes with that name. This is a very big secret in my life. I thank God for the things that God has done in my life, but I do not trust in anointing. No. I contend for the anointing, but I didn't give my life to the anointing. I didn't give my life to prayer. I didn't give my life to fasting. I didn't give my life to my Bible. I gave my life to a real person. And that person becomes the object of my hope, the object of my love. The reason why I fast, the reason why I pray, the reason why I study is because the person I gave my life to told me that I should engage these things as a way of releasing the reality of what is in him. So I don't fast as though it's an alternative to Jesus Christ. It is because as a result of my oneness with him, I love him and I am willing to listen to his instructions. And he, that living logos, has redirected me back to fasting, redirected me back to prayer. Are we together? Redirected me back to word study and all of these things. So while I am doing them, my eyes still remain on him. I show you why there is a lot of spiritual activity in the body of Christ and almost no power. So when I get results that are more than my strength, I am only grateful, not surprised. Because remember, I am not alone. If they pay you salary, you know what you did. Are we together now? Yes. You are not surprised for collecting your salary. You woke up in the morning, there is a memory of diligence and hard work in your mind. So it is based on merit. Even though you are grateful, you collect it. But if somebody should park a car in front of your house in the morning and say, for some reason I just came to give you this, it will surprise you. And you will live your life saying thank you, because you cannot remember anything you did tied to that. Are we together? We look to Yahweh, Yahweh. But now watch this. Every time, come doctor, bring that. Every time a gift is given to you, I am giving a gift to doctor. You have a responsibility. What is the responsibility? No, your responsibility is not to receive. Your responsibility, your first responsibility is awareness, not reception. Your first responsibility is awareness. You cannot receive what you are not even aware of. Your first responsibility is awareness. Oh, and that is the work of the Holy Ghost. For it is He that works in us both to will and to do. He does something to you and brings you to a state of awareness. So that even though this is too good to be true, you know that there is something that He is giving you. And then you can receive. How do you receive? The Bible lets us know that in this kingdom, we receive by faith. We receive by faith. Turn with me very, very quickly to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. I'm establishing a few things because we need to pray. 1 John 5 verse 4. Everybody look up please and read. Ready? One, two, read. For whatsoever is born of God. Hold on. Let me explain to you what it means to be born of God. To be born of God does not just mean to be born again. To be born of God means to be made partaker to the name. For whosoever is born of koinonia, that means that you have become part of that vision. Are we together? It says whatsoever is born of God, there is something that makes that person or that thing overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let me tell you what that means. Our faith there means the entire process from the giving of the gift, the awareness of it, receiving it. Everything there is called our faith. This is the victory. That when you receive in reality, through your consciousness and through the activity of the Spirit, you come into a state where the Bible calls you more than a conqueror. Please, believers, listen to me. The days that are coming will test this thing I'm teaching you. I assure you, the pandemic is only one of the stages. There are many more things that are coming upon our globe that will test the reality of your profession, the reality of that which you believe. Did the Bible not say, and the winds came? Did the Bible not say, and the rain came on every house, both on the rock and on sand? But it was the house that was built on the rock that stood. Are we together? This is the victory that overcomes even our faith. What is my faith? the entire process from the awareness of this gift that Christ has given me, my receiving it by trusting the one who gave me, the consciousness that now I have it today. I give him this. He receives it. And he's conscious of the fact that he has it. Many believers do not know what really happens to a Christian when he gets born again. Being born again is not just about escaping from hell alone. There is an implication to receiving the name. The Bible says that name is given and it saves men. That when you are a Christian, listen to me, there is really something supernatural about you now. Not being aware of it will make the devil cause you to walk in defeat. Our fathers who walked upon this earth and did exploits for the kingdom, all of them, without exception, told us that the secret to their life of victory and exploit, more than all of the activities, was their consciousness of this gift that they were given. They carried this gift. Reinhard Bonnke carried the name to Africa and worked wonders. T.L. Osborne carried the name. Many of these people carried this name and they trumped the gates of hell with it. But our generation, number one, we are not even aware of what it really means to be a Christian. We are just aware that to be a Christian means I'm not a part of any other religion except the religion that exalts Christ. That's wonderful, but that's not a very accurate understanding. When you became a doctor, you were aware. You don't enter the hospital being afraid that they will drive you because you are a doctor. There is a consciousness. Are we together? I'm not a doctor, but I'm sure there are places in the hospital they say restricted. Is that true? If you are a doctor, usually they will give you an ID card or your lab coat, or you have some kind of formula. And while other people who are not doctors will stand there and be hoping to peep, someone will come and open that door with confidence. And even if the door is locked, you see him bring out a key. Why? The key is what is opening, but his consciousness of a doctor is what brought him to that hospital. If you ask him, why are you going to operate on this patient? He will not tell you, because I have a scissors. No, no, no. It's not the consciousness of holding a scissors that is the basis of his confidence. He will tell you that I am a doctor. That name, that title is what gives me the audacity to enter a theater. And someone can carry that name from India and come to Nigeria and say, where is that complicated case? Because there is a name. You can carry that name to your family. You can carry that name to a dark world. And when the devil is attempting to bully people, listen. When David was going to fight Goliath, David said, you come to me with your spears, but I come to you. Ah! I come to you. There is a consciousness. The God of the Hebrews. I was not there, but my fathers told us something about that name. Do you know, in ancient times, the Philistines feared that name. When they saw the nation of Israel coming, it was never about numbers. They would check whether there was the ark around there. If they found the ark in their midst, warriors would start running because a few people, powerless sometimes, but they carried an ark. How else will you have the confidence to dare life? How else will you have the confidence to raise children? How else will you have the confidence to build a ministry? How else will you have the confidence to know that my tomorrow is secured? It is not in yourself. There is a name that is upon your life that becomes the guarantee. Do not forget this example I gave you. Here is a patient lying down. Even if you gathered all the medical books and read it for 12 years on your own, it still does not qualify you, because there is an institution that gives these names. Listen, this is the name that we do ministry by. This is the name that we approach life by. It's an indestructible name. You hide behind a name, it's like hiding behind a steel fence. Did the Bible not say that name is a strong tower? You can enter the name. You are used to calling it alone, but you can enter the name. Listen, please don't just get excited. Understand what I'm telling you. Your life will be an unending wonder. When I gave my life to Christ, what happened to me was that Jesus Christ Himself escorted me to the Father and said, "This is one of those who made me strip my robe." And I came back, and the only question the Father will ask is, did he agree to take that name? With the mouth, confession is made as proof that you agree. The moment you agree, the Father says he qualifies to carry that name. Satan's next assignment becomes to take away from your life the consciousness of what just happened. His assignment as the God of this world is to blind minds. He will do something to your mind so that even though you carry the name, imagine seeing a doctor roaming around Shika and you're saying, "What happened?" And you check an envelope and find out, you bring that envelope and that is his official employment letter as an authorized doctor within that place. Or imagine that the doctor steps into his own office and somebody comes out and says, "Go out of this place." And he says, "I'm sorry." Have you seen a doctor do that? No. When he says, "Go out of that place," the doctor will check the name near the door first to verify whether someone had taken the name. And he still sees his name there. And he says, "By what authority do you have?" Just because the name was given to you does not mean the devil will... I hope you know the owner of the name, Satan himself, didn't run from him. The owner of that name, even while he was depending on the Holy Spirit, Satan still came to him. So Satan coming to you is not the thing. Meeting Goliath is not the thing. Meeting the Philistines is not the thing. Standing before Jericho is not the thing. Are you aware of the name? So while there is darkness ravaging across the place, while newspapers continue to bring all kinds of negative news, in the midst of it, God again wants to remind this global family that there is victory, 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 not by the works of the flesh, victory that is predicated upon the consciousness of who God is, the reality of what really happened to him, and that we have become partakers today, partakers of that name. This is my consciousness. Sincerely, I tell you, your next assignment, therefore, after acknowledging that you have that name, your next assignment is to search for what is in that name. Listen to me. Haven't got the consciousness, you have to go back and now search diligently what is in the name. If I give you a check with 10 million naira inside as a gift, After you say thank you, you will open the check in my presence there. It may sound rude. You will take it home with joy. And then you need to open it now. What exactly is there? What bank am I to cash that check? How much is the amount? What does it take to go to the bank to cash that kind of check? Being aware that you were given a name is very powerful. But stopping there, you may still not experience victory. So what is in that name? What is in the name of Jesus? What exactly is in that name? I want to give you an answer that will surprise you. The name of Jesus, listen very carefully. The name of Jesus does not just contain healing, does not just contain breakthrough, does not just contain all of these things. The name of Jesus carries the essence of everything God, the embodiment of all that God is captured in that name. Understand this. We only break down the dimensions that are in those names for the edification of the saints. So we can say, for instance, the name heals, the name does this, the name does that. But the name of Jesus is not part of the power of God. Listen carefully. The name of Jesus is not part of the glories of heaven. The name of Jesus is the embodiment of the entirety of everything God. The full weight of the glory of God is invested in that name. And the Bible says, on account of that name, every knee, without exception, will bow of things in heaven, of things in the earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue, without exception, must declare that Jesus is Lord, even to the glory of the Father. That lordship that was invested in his name. Absolute owner and master. The name of Jesus contains the essence of all that God is. Are we together now?
Yes.
Walking conscious of that name. When you have that revelation, watch this. You can walk through life, and when fear wants to buffet you, when life wants to intimidate you, watch this. When your background wants to intimidate you, when you look at yourself alone, you do not see anything that becomes the basis of a great life. But then very quickly you remember that at the back of this frail person, there is an office, there is a name that becomes your basis. You keep moving by faith. When you stand before the mountains of your destiny and you believe that name, the consciousness of that name steps you back and allows the name to stand face to face with that situation. When victory is won, quickly God takes you back. So it looks like you are the one doing it. But there is a transaction in the spirit. So you stand before lack, and the name comes in front of you as a defense. Out of that name will come favor. And when that favor is coming, he turns back and the favor meets you. And then you continue moving. And all the arsenals and the onslaughts of darkness against your life, as those onslaughts are coming, the name comes as a shield. It says, but thou, O Lord, Psalm 3, many are they that rise up against me, many are they that say, where is thy help? He said, but thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me, you are my glory, he says, even the lifter up of my head. Do you believe what I'm sharing with you? So someone says, I came from a family where nobody rises. That in that family, if you rise, do you know that there are spirits that operate an attempt to pull down families. This is true. Then there are spirits over territories. It's not only families. Once you are part of that territory, you have the potential of being buffeted by that spirit. They are the spirits that create patterns of failure. So people within a predefined territory behave a similar way. Whether it is laziness, whether it is trouble, whether it is untimely death, all of these spirits control these things. But in every generation, there have been men and women who came out by the spirit and defied status quo. He said, Nathaniel said that it can anything good come out of Nazareth, and yet the Savior came out of there. The name brings you out of every tribe, out of every tongue. Are we together now? The consciousness of it is the guarantee for your victory. My brothers and my sisters, hear me. The times that we now live in are times where you have to be sure of what you believe before you make noise. Because life will beat you to your knees and you will bow your head in shame forever. It is the people that do know their God. They are the ones, even at times like this, who shall be strong and shall do exploits. The name of Jesus. Hear me. This is the name that we stand behind to do what we do for His Majesty. When He sent us, God does not send you and give you money. God does not send you and give you men. God does not send you and give you influence. God does not send you and give you any charm. He sends you with His name and says, go. Go. My name upon you is enough. When God opened us up to the vision of expansion to Abuja, the US, the UK. Now, a few of you here come from that city. That is not a city to go and do ministry if you don't know what you are doing. You will die before you arrive there. The sheer cost of living there will return you back in shame. Many people said God sent them. They didn't reach 2 weeks there. The speed with which they left that city. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing superhuman to us in ourselves. The mystery behind the victories that we command is this name. All that we need to hear is for Him to say go. Because before He ever says go, He makes sure that name is there. Are we together? In my name. Remember when He sent the disciples? What did He give them? Is there any record in your Bible that He gave them post? He gave them money. He gave them anointing oil to hold. Say, hold this bottle. Even the bread that they ate, He didn't even give them and say, okay, go and bring bread. Let me pray. Go with it. He said, no. I've given you my name. Go. The Bible says they returned back and said, Jesus, what did you give us again? Because while we were afraid, a name was still pushing us. And all of a sudden, we began to record triumphs. They returned back and said, even the devils, that's the thing we are most afraid of. The Bible never, see, when Jesus sent them, don't think that they went like evangelism that we do for 2 hours and come back. No. He sent you and it's as if you are going forever. And He never told anybody, go and check up on them, are they fine? Do you know what is in that name? And at that time, it was not the name, that coronation. He sent them. He never told them, are you afraid? Don't worry about your feelings. Just carry the name and go. Hear me, brothers and sisters. people finish school and start moving and looking for uncle. Where is the uncle that will back me? Where is the door that will open? No! Carry that name. Take it to Abba. Carry that name. Take it to the U.S. Believe what I'm telling you. The name is more than anything you will think about if you know what is stored in the name. So when I got to that city, I said, thank you, Jesus. I don't have any uncle that is a senator. I don't have any auntie that is anything. Lord, I came from a humble background of missionaries. However, I come in a name. Ah! And the spirit in that territory, they know that name. They've been old enough. They've had an experience with that name before. Because we are not the first to come there. Listen, everything you have seen and heard about what God is doing there is true. It's not a lie. I'm not one person who likes to speak and say things because most people will misunderstand it. You say something just to encourage the saints and it will look like pride. My brothers and sisters, I do not want to begin to tell you what God is doing within that land. Daddy, sir, a door was opened for workforce. Mommy, in 10 hours, there were 849 applications submitted to be part of the workforce. Altogether, the entire list for the workforce of people who wanted to be Koinonia workforce in Abuja, roughly about 2,000 from the PR here and about 4,000. Workforce, not membership. How in the world do Jesus with the name? Don't you think there are any guarantees anywhere? My dear people, hear me. It is that name that will take your music ministry to the world. Don't sit back waiting for any connection or some. No, no. The name. Hallelujah. When it came to acquire some of the equipment, the consultants that came from Lagos, and when they prepared the list, when you see that list, even you by yourself, you will go back and say, for what? If I have that kind of money, you will just quietly go and build an estate. So you hand over the list to the name. You sit down there, it will kill you. Hear me. I'm saying this because if you do not know the power of that name, you will never build a house. You will never raise anybody. Your Christian experience will become weak and barren. You will become angry and wounded and offended. Because the real key is the name. I leave you with this message. The victory that God says to bring is not going to come because suddenly your uncle returned back from Nigeria, returned from US. Most times, Daddy, we say we trust God, but the truth is that we trust somebody who seems to like us, and there is a guarantee that that person may help you. Hear me, my dear people. It is not your job that rewards you. Your job is just a channel. A business is just a channel. A name. A name. I began to read afresh again the books of T.L. Osborne and all these great revivalists, because we remain students of revival and mentees of these men forever till Jesus comes. There is no graduation in that school. We read and come back again. And as he's leading us, we go back and we keep learning at the feet of veterans, not storytellers, veterans of the gospel. Men who left their territories. When Reinhard Bonnke was coming to Africa, they warned him. They said, Africa is not where you come and play games. These demons will eat you up. He came. I remember growing up, my father used to buy a lot of his videos. That was the first time this concept of fire coming from heaven. It was, I think, one of the foremost experiences was his crusade. In a particular nation where there were skulls, herbalists bringing all their charms, they were praying and fire without being ignited. I watched it, not that they told me. I said, what is this? Is that an evangelist? Until Reinhard Bonnke went to be with the Lord, not one demon from Africa came and said, after 30 years, we will crush you. The name. On the 28th of February, we're commencing service in Abuja to the glory of the name of the Lord, alongside what we are doing. Can I tell you, under God, I'm not saying it to boast, there is not one naira that is being owed anybody, and there will not be any one naira that will be owed forever. And I'm not talking of some maybe meeting senate. No. There is a name. It is the name of Jesus. The amount of pastors, the amount of ministers and leaders who have streamed to come to say, look, apostle, we want to be pastors serving under the ministry. Is there room? I told them, well, I don't act like this. I was a young missionary. My grandfather was a missionary who served and died. I don't know about some of these things about ministry, except for the ones that we have learned. But with childlike faith, Lord, we believe you. And I'm not talking of young people. I'm talking of people who, some of them, closed down their ministries. I'm not exaggerating. We don't say these things to brag. I hope you, I'm sorry if it looks, it's not, it's to encourage you. Someone will have to tell you what God is doing so that it will build your faith. Hallelujah. Our fathers, some of them could not speak English so well. Some of them didn't even have the opportunity to be so enlightened. But with childlike faith, they were sent. And they went with a name. They went to lands that they guaranteed them they would not return. And after many years, they didn't only return. They returned with victory. Abraham, come out of your father's house. No guarantee. Go to a place I will show you. Imagine that you are Abraham and you look at your wife and say, madam, prepare. We are leaving Zaria. To where? We will just charter a car and keep moving. While we are moving, we will hear God. How responsible does that sound? As funny as it sounds, that's what happened to Father Abraham. And he kept going. Where are we going? I just know God is leading us. Time will fail me to begin to tell you the things that God has done to bring glory and honor to his name. Because when he sends you with the name. So he has declared that this is our season of victory. Let me tell you what that means. It is not only victory for Koinonia as a ministry. It's time to look at your life and say, Lord, if I'm just to use my degree, I may not go far. If I'm to use the connection of my parents, some of you, you've lost your parents. Some of you, your parents are still alive and they are well-to-do. Thank God for that privilege. But I'm speaking to some of my dear people who know that as you are standing right now, it is only you and God. You will be surprised where God will send some of you to. God will stand up and say, you know what? Go to Lagos. You will be sweating in the car as if you stole. You arrive Lagos and you stand like an armed robber. Was that not how John Lake went to South Africa? God told him, go. When he got there, a woman kept asking, are you John Lake? No. Are you John Lake? And she met him and said, God instructed me to wait for you here, that you are coming. See, what I'm teaching you is not new. That's how our fathers, that's what our fathers did. Elijah went to Brook Cherry. These men walked like fugitives on the earth. They walk with the confidence of the word of God. They will just keep moving like that. Bishop Oyedepo was right in Kaduna here many years ago, and God told him, stand up and go. Like that, he got up like a madman, and then from there went to a forest, and look what God has done today. Dr. Pastor Paul Enenche, somewhere in the heart of Abuja, and now God shifted him to go to the outskirts towards the airport road. What gives you a guarantee that people will come? From March last year till December, there was no service that was held here. What gives you a guarantee that when you call, people will come back again? It's a name. Not the name of a man, the name of Jesus. That's what he has done. You have done me well. You have done me well. You have done me well, Jesus.
Yes, we are part of Jesus. place that I go, everything that I do, everywhere that I go, everything that I do, I'm hearing nobody deny.
In that name, you are going to pray that God will give you the consciousness of that name, that as you leave this place tonight, you know, as a student, I study in the name of Jesus. Where will the fruit be come from? The name of Jesus is able to provide. Lift your voice and pray. name of a governor, not in the name of a president, not in the name. Voice and pray.
King of kings, Lord of lords, who reigns above all.
King of kings,
Lord of lords,
hey,
so we sing.
Hallelujah. Listen. Praise the Lord. Listen. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In the next 1 minute, you are going to open your mouth and declare that from February to December, it will be victory all the way for me. That when men say there is a casting down, in the name of Jesus, I declare that there is a lifting up. Lift your voice and prophesy. Lift your voice and prophesy. Declare it for your children. Declare it for your business. Declare it for your spiritual life. It is a year of victory. Finally, I rejoice. Finally, I celebrate. Finally, Jesus revealed in my life. Jesus glorified in my life. Lift your voice and pray. Finally. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me. He said, Peter, Satan desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, because it's your faith that connects you to the name. If your faith fails, it will make the name inefficient in your life. You are going to pray. Father, this is not the year to believe you today.
and then tomorrow I disbelieve you again because of a news and a report. I declare that my faith is strong also. Strong also. Like Father Abraham, I waver not at your promises. Like Father Abraham, I am unbending. Like Sarah, our mother, we count you faithful. My faith is strong. My faith is strong. Believe in you. Believe in your faithfulness. Believe in your majesty. Believing that this is a season of victory. Signs and wonders. Advancement. In every area of life, marvelous testimony. Hallelujah. Look up, please. Hallelujah. Please look up. The apex of the victory of Jesus was demonstrated in his ability to defy death. That a man who dies and resurrects himself back to life is truly the Lord. If it is true that you have that victory, your next prayer point is, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? I'd like you to declare and exempt yourself. I exempt your family from the spirit of death. Through sickness, death, through the plague of darkness. Please pray. Open your mouth and pray. I challenge the spirit of death. I challenge the plague of death. I am a partaker of the victory that is in Christ Jesus. I am a partaker of the victory that is in Christ Jesus. I am a partaker of the victory that is in Christ Jesus. I am a partaker of the victory that is in Christ Jesus. I am a partaker of the victory that is in Christ Jesus. Rebuke death over your life. Rebuke death over your family. Rebuke death over your loved ones. Rebuke death over your church. Rebuke death over Koinonia. Life. We speak life. We declare life. We manifest life. Life that comes through the name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me share two secrets with you and then we'll wrap up. Look up, please. One of the character of victory is that there is no silence in an atmosphere of victory. You do not find silence. If it is real victory, you never find silence. The Bible says the shouts of joy and victory will never depart from the tent of the righteous. Are we together? Victory. You're going to lift up your voice and pray for the grace for two things. One, confession. Consistent confession of the word of God. Number two, that your joy will never depart from your life. Please believe what I am teaching you. Listen to me. When Satan attacks you, it is primarily your joy that he is after. If you make a mistake of handing over your joy, your life is over. Are we together now? There's no time I would have shown you a scripture about joy. There are many things you will not be able to do when you lose joy. Satan does not need to kill you when you are joyless. You are already dead. You are going to pray. 2021, joy all the way. Regardless the report, joy, joy. Salary or no salary, joy. Breakthrough or no breakthrough, joy. I rejoice in the Lord always. Always.
full of joy, declaring the word of God over my life, over my family. I will not be silent. The redeemed of the Lord says so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we're a family. There are many following online. We're going to pray for this great ministry, this great vision. All of the things, because of the pandemic, we've suspended temporarily our expansion to UK and the US until the pandemic is over and we have clearance. But already it is a marvel what God is doing within these regions. This thing is so that the gospel will be taken to the ends of the earth. The missionaries brought the gospel to us, but they did not give us the technology of sustenance. They didn't have it themselves. Now the devil has hijacked their territory, and in gratitude, God is sending us back to them. Because we have proven ourselves to be faithful stewards. I gave you 5 talents. What did you do with it? And we said, Lord, they brought the gospel. But in addition to the gospel, the Spirit of grace now opened us up to dimensions of victory, of warfare, of power. The grace that sustains impact. And we are taking it back to those regions to say, your fathers taught us and they are gone. But Africa, that rejected stone, is the one who will come back to help you now. This is not about Joshua Selman. This is not about Koinonia. This is prophecy being fulfilled. You open your Bible, you see what we are doing. It's just that when we read it, we did not know that we were the ones we were reading about. We thought we were reading about someone else in America. When they were teaching us in Sunday school and we were listening, I'm sure heaven was saying, I hope you are understanding that topic. Many of the things you are reading here, you are reading about yourself. You think you are reading about someone there. No. The Bible talks about men who will rise from a land whose rivers divide. Nigeria. The land whose rivers divide. We will take back the gospel with the power and the grace. Today, if Benny Hinn goes to be with the Lord and a few other people, yesterday Casey Price transited in glory, these fathers are going. The next 10 years, if there is no rescue to the West, there will arise a people who did not know Joseph again, but not when we are alive. Their fathers left and brought the gospel. It was through them that we have been able to hear. And we have vowed and we've prayed and we've cried it for many years that the distant shores and the islands will see the love and the grace that rises from us. When he called us, it was not to look for money. When he called us, it was not to look for fame. The agenda is bigger than that. We're talking of souls that are dying, not the name of a man of God. We're talking of souls that are dying. This is why God is helping us to prepare to launch a TV ministry. Every channel that can give an opportunity to take Jesus to the nations. Let us do our best within our lifetime. Because if Christ tarries one day, we will also stand and sign out. But let it never be that in our lifetime, we fail our generation. Let it never be that in our lifetime, Jesus becomes silent. You have to make a commitment where you are. That it will be because of me, my family members will hear about Jesus. If all you want to do in your life is just to look for fame and look for money, that is a wasted life. Any life that is not tied to kingdom come is a wasted destiny. You must go back. Don't say I'm not called into the fivefold ministry. Return back to the heart of the gospel. Someone must not die and go to hell because you came. Don't wait till you are given an anointing for nations. Start with your family.
Every day you pass people who are going to hell and you don't care. All you are doing is just praying and fasting. Thank God for that. But it's time. This, a year of victory is also a year of responsibility. Don't be silent. Mockery does not kill. Name calling does not kill. It does not have teeth to bite. Set yourself away from what people think or don't think and focus on the gospel. And let life thank you that you were born. Let someone be able to thank you. There was one person who came out in an altar call that a missionary called some years ago. He called in an altar call and just one person came out. And when that one person came out, the man was disappointed. And he got that person born again and left feeling disappointed. The name of that one person who came out was Billy Graham. If that missionary did not save that one person, there would not be millions of people. I don't know about you, but that you have made up my mind that as far as it depends on me, for me, oh, to live is Christ. And if I die in this assignment, let it be with joy that I go and meet my Savior. We are part of the few that have signed our life, both in life and death, that Jesus must be glorified. I don't know about you, but let me give you one more prayer point. Put global harvest, global evangelism as a burden in my heart. Lord, all this competition, the desire to have church, the desire to be a man of God over a small group, the desire to be a famous apostle and prophet, Lord, get that nonsense out of my mind and return my focus back to the gospel. This is what people died to give to us. Lift your voice and pray from the depth of your heart. Are you praying? Plant in our hearts, O God, a hunger to reach the unreached, a hunger to take Jesus to the nations, a hunger to see that every territory calls upon the name of Jesus. Please pray. Restore my passion for souls. Restore my passion for the lost. Restore my passion for global evangelism.
You said, lift up your eyes, the harvest is here, the kingdom is here. You said, I said, now give the nations to you, O Lord. That's the cry of my heart. With the shores and the islands to see your life.
Listen, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. Hear me. I'm not just speaking to you here. The Holy Spirit is speaking to many people who are listening. Some of you, the training God gave you is not just for a civil servant. The way God raised you is not just for someone who will just... You receive the training of one who should carry fire to the nations. But many of us have allowed the mundane pursuits of life to erode our hearts. There are many ways to participate in evangelism. Number one is prayer and intercession for the lost. Nobody has an excuse for that one. You can take time. Most of our prayer now is give me tea, breakthrough. Listen, may God deliver us. Whatever has happened to our hearts that has eroded the passion for souls. Give me fame. Give me designers. Give me this. Rubbish. You die and in 5 minutes they will bury you and all that thing will not carry any sense. There are many of us, can I tell you this? The call of God is a dangerous thing. It will remain on your life even if it's after 20 years. You just keep doing your thing. keep running away from it, it will haunt you. There is a dimension of satisfaction you will never have until the day you return back to your knees and say, finally, oh God, what is the worth of my life if I am not serving your purposes? This has nothing to do with being a pastor, and this has nothing to do with a pastor's wife. Today is Valentine's now. You will not imagine how many people, rather than focusing on seeing how can souls come to the kingdom, it is flesh, flesh, flesh. What can I get? What can I eat? What can I wear? Whereas souls are dying every day. There are whole families with not one person who knows about Jesus. There are some of you, you are looking at me now. Your parents may not have up to 5 years left, up to 10 years left. They are about to go. And God is saying, will you let them go to hell? They were good people, only that they were trained as traditionalists. Can you make up your mind? It's not about London or America. Start from where you are. So the Lord is speaking to us. The first way to participate in soul winning and the global harvest is prayer and intercession. The second level is active evangelism. Not just when you meet as a church and they give you a card and you branch and go to your friend's house and sit down there for 1 hour and you say, "Yakamata ngama yenzu," and you come back to church. No. Let me tell you this. When God started with us, I told you yesterday, the workers, I will not go back to sleep until I see that at least one person is saved. Active evangelism. In the car, wherever. God, not that you move around harassing people. No. God bless you. I have a message and a good news to tell you. I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. And the person looks at you and says, "I'm already..." No, that's not the issue. And you save that one person. I will never forget, years ago, there was a gentleman who got born again. And I helped that guy and followed. Later on, he would become, I think, one of the faculty presidents. And then, that time, I used to preach a lot in the campus. They had invited me to come and preach. And to my shock, when I came, the people who were receiving me was that guy. He was now the president of that campus, but that fellowship. And he said, "Thank you, sir. You know, when Jesus comes, daddy, when we stand, I will see my grandfather with the souls that he won. I will see Billy Graham. Oh, may I not be ashamed. When I stand before him and all you have is a bag of money and mundane things you were looking for, a bag of shirts, a bag of cars, a bag of real estate, as wonderful as those things are, I want to be able to stand and join the patriarchs and say, I may not have done much, oh God, but this is what we have brought to greet you." There used to be an old hymn that will sing, "What do must I go an empty handed?" I know many people don't know it. You only know the one that, "God, you must answer me now. Must I meet my Savior's soul? Is there not one soul with which to greet him?" This is how we were trained in the seminary. Not a search for mundane things. It was Jesus. It was souls. It was kingdom. I'm not teaching you to be irresponsible. You know that already. But I'm shaking you up because something is happening to this our generation. We don't know it's an attack. Return back to the things that matter. We don't have forever in this world. No matter how young you are, you do not have forever in this world. If I go to meet the Lord today, let it just be that I did not finish my assignment, but let it be that at least I did something. If you are not ready for evangelism, forget about the prayer for power. Forget about the prayer for money. There is only, let me tell you this, there is only so much money can do to you as a person. Believe me. It's just the spirit of poverty that makes us look like it's all about money. When God really blesses you, there is not much you will do with money. You will look at it and it's like dust. The only thing that gives credence to your pursuit is Jesus and the nations. Evangelism, intercession and prayer. Number two, active evangelism. Then number three, financing the gospel. Number three, financing the gospel. That is the third way to participate. And then number four is those who use influence to protect those who are sent. Are you seeing the levels now? There is prayer and intercession. There is the goers, active in evangelism. There is those who now finance them so that they don't worry about matter of food and their children's school fees, so they can focus on the gospel. Then, because we live in an evil world, there are those who must have the influence in government and so on and so forth to protect those who are sent. Many missionaries were killed because there were no men of influence who were interested in the gospel. We are not part of those who will just be killed like chickens. No, there must be people who have influence, who can protect the missionaries so that they can also raise their children while they preach. I don't know how I got here. It's just something that is in your heart. Remember, you were once saved though. Somebody had to preach to you. One day, like some of you, I'm about to make an altar call now. There are some of you who were invited, whether it's Overflow 1, 2, 3, wherever. In fact, we're going to sing that song, Must I Go An Empty Handed? You know the song? Most of you don't know it. You only notice your songs that you write. And sing just the chorus. Must I go an empty hand? Or look for it there. Whilst we're singing that song, listen please. You are here, you're inside or outside. And you're saying, Apostle, this night I came for Koinonia and I need Jesus. This is not the matter of ministry. This is a matter of your relationship. There is a huge need for global evangelism. Whether you are in Overflow 1, 2, 3. If you're following online from whatever nation of the earth, please, I'd like you to tremble and break down sincerely. But if you are here, please, those who will be coming, aside from Overflow 3, I will request you to just go to the front of your projector stand. But inside here, Overflow 1, 2, 3, you are giving your heart to Jesus or you are rededicating your life. As we sing this song passionately, I'd like you to run like there's fire on the mountain and come and stand before Jesus, who is your maker. Celebrate them as they come. Don't be ashamed of anybody. Must I go and please stand because of space. Stand because of space. God bless you. Keep coming. Don't be ashamed. Keep coming. Run to Jesus. Some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your tears.
Must I go an empty
hand? Keep coming.
Just one soul is weak to bring. Must I empty hand? Must I know an empty hand? Must I be my
friend? Keep coming. Long hold. Keep coming. One more time.
Must I go an empty hand?
Young lady, look at me. I command that spirit to leave you. Out! Go! Now! In the name of Jesus Christ. Look at what has tied this lady, tied her destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. Release her destiny, release her life. Listen to me. My dear brothers and sisters, there's nothing to be ashamed of. It's like coming to receive an award. You know, most times when we come to Jesus, we act as if we are coming for a funeral. No. No. This is Jesus. Everybody you see here had an opportunity, whether in your room with Jesus or outside here. Can I encourage you? Those of you who are students, while you read, don't forget about Jesus in your campus. Don't forget about it. More than organizing programs that just market the flesh, jumping up and down with no kingdom relevance, focus on Jesus. For some of you, God is planting a passion in you right now that every day you say, I will take 1 hour to pray for souls. Let that be my, let me start from there. Don't just pray and say, Lord, please, I've been asking you to give me this. I've been asking you this. Please take it higher. What is happening to me this night? It's like something is just taking me back to those days.
In the cross. Be my glory ever. Be my righteous soul to find rest beyond the reach.
Sing it one more time.
In the cross.
I celebrate all of you, my dear brothers and sisters. The highest honor that God can give a man is to be called the Son of God. Please lift your right hand as high. Don't be ashamed of your tears. Hallelujah. Now all of you lifting your hands, I want you to know that Jesus is here. He does not stand to condemn you. No, that is not Jesus. He comes to you, reaching you. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with my loving kindness. Listen to me. I don't care how your life has been. God can give you a new beginning from this night. This is not some church thing, oh. This is not some koinonia thing. This is a real experience. As you pray this prayer, I want you to forget about me and forget about any other person looking at you. Set your eyes on Jesus. Pray this prayer with understanding. You're not reciting a poem. Are we together? Yes. Passionately from your heart, say, Lord Jesus, this night, I have heard your word. I come before you, unable to help myself. But I declare tonight that you are my Savior. I declare that you are my Lord. I declare that you are my King. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you shed your blood for me. I believe that you resurrected for me. From tonight and forever, I declare that I am yours. I receive the abundance of grace and the gift of eternal life. I belong to Jesus, sealed with the Holy Spirit. I am yours forever. Hallelujah. Keep your hands lifted. Your Majesty, once again we bring before you these ones you died for. It is an honor to present to you these ones as a trophy.
Lord, I pray by the Spirit of grace that you will seal every one of these people in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that the grace to live the victorious Christian life, may that grace be granted unto you. In the name of Jesus, by the authority of Scripture, I declare your sins forgiven. And I declare a fresh walk with God. You belong to Jesus now and forever. I minister to you the peace of Jesus that surpasses all understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, watch this. Generally, the way we do it here is that all those who get